time for perf bites.
What the f*** is perf bites? The fourth square meal of the day. Don't bogart the perf bites. Up waffles. Microwave ready. Add nutritional value to your brain.
It's time for perf bites with your hosts Mark Tomlinson, James Pulley, and Howard Chorney.
Perf bites.
Whatever.
Hey, it's time for Perf Bites. Welcome, everyone. Say hello to everyone in the Perf Bites land. Hello. We are live in San Diego. San Diego, right?
You have way too much energy, Mark.
I do have way too much energy. We're at the Software Test Professionals Conference, broadcasting from right in front of a marina. There's a bunch of boats behind us. Lovely water. You could easily fall right over the edge. Wait a minute. There's a walkway under there, isn't there? Or could you make it to the water? We could dive in. Yeah, I think it would be fun if I have too much beer. Welcome to Perf Bites, and welcome Perf Bites listeners to yet another broadcasting live from an STPCon where things get crazy. The topic is, who knows what the topic will be. We'll have a little news of the damned. I found some great news of the damned stuff.
Excellent.
Actually. Yeah.
So I'm proposing session as a topic.
Okay. Session. You're at a conference at STPCon and you go into one of the rooms and you're in a session and it lasts for 45 minutes with 15 minutes of Q&A.
You know, that's a great analogy, Mark. Have you ever been in a session that just goes way too long?
Way too long, yeah.
Yeah, you hit the topic and you go right through the topic and you get to that dead air at the end where nobody has any questions and the session is just hanging on.
So that analogy also works because let's say you really only need to do 5 minutes of work in the website,
yeah.
But the sessions is set for 20 minutes.
Yeah, if you look at your standard default session on a web server, it might be 20 to 30 minutes in length, and yet your average time between each request page to page may be 5 minutes. So you're capturing that session, and you're holding on to those resources for 30 minutes or 25 minutes beyond when it normally needs to be dropped.
Yeah, exactly. I think that sounds good.
Yeah.
We can talk about session. Of course, we should also just introduce, there's a room full of maybe, 20 people here? I'll say it's 20. That's almost 20
people. Sure, we'll go with that.
Almost. There's 10, 15, 18. I think there's about 45 people in the room. You know, I think the small, of course, you realize the Perf Bites podcast is usually me at home in a bathrobe on Skype. And then James
I
at home.
I can confirm that. Yeah.
Don't confirm it. That's weird. It's very strange. And
occasionally he turns on his video. It's not nice.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. Actually, Andy Grabner over here from Dynatrace joined us recently, and we're going to try to dial in our colleague Howard and somehow have him join the show. I'm not sure exactly how. Probably hold the something like that. You can try dialing him up here. What's his number? He's got my phone. So we'll try to get Howard on there. But just to formally introduce ourselves. My name is Mark Tomlinson. I'm the host of Perf Bites and everyone on the air. Some of you have not listened to Perf Bites, so you'll know I am I'm a performance guy. Right, Craig? I do that performance. I taught a class once. You came to my class. It was really fun, wasn't it? Yeah. Performicologist, if you look at LinkedIn. And my dubious co-host, James Pulley.
I am a performance ogre.
A performance ogre. Maybe introduce yourself to the group here.
Yeah, like Mark, we have gone through the vendor universe. My name, James Pulley. I've been contributing back online for, I guess, the better part of a decade and a half or something of that nature to various performance forums. And on April 1st, I think that'll be my 19th anniversary for when I first used a performance testing tool in anger.
Really?
Yeah.
In anger?
In anger.
How? Explain that. What do you mean by anger?
I was a new hire employee at Mercury, and I was really angry at the tool.
And you blew it up?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Okay, all right. That sounds good.
We were forced to install it on Spark stations and things of that nature, so it was really painful.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing on the site. So we may have some broadcasting issues here, just trying to get it right. But it says it's broadcasting, so we're just going to go for it. One other thing to tell the new listeners, we've launched a Perf Bites Android app. And there'll be another one coming out on the iPhone soon. But you can actually, if you have an Android device, you can go to the, what's the Play Store, I think it is, right?
In the Google Play Store. Google search Play for Store. Perf Bytes, and you can download the app.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody do it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So if
all at the same time.
Listening, 5, 4, 3, 2, get Perf Bytes.
Yeah. No, I don't see that. I don't think we're creating point load.
Okay. Who's checking the Google Store for performance right now?
I don't know. Okay, so I'm going to try to get Howard on the line here just for the fun of it, and 279. Why don't you take a minute on the topic of session? Like most people in functional testing, do you even think about session from a functional testing standpoint?
I think this is a good time for audience participation.
Oh, okay. Crank it up. Now, remember with that mic, you got to talk like right on the thing, right?
So you need to speak right into the microphone. Who wants to be first victim to speak about session?
Session.
Who's going to argue with me that session needs to be really, really long because in case the person comes back, we don't want to have to recreate that session? Okay. I have a devil's advocate over here.
It's Andy. Hey, this is Andy. I think the answer is it depends. It depends on the app because if you have a web app, e-commerce store, something like that, you know, sessions might be very short because you just have a lot of visitors on there that just go to the page and then go right, you know, leave the page again because they're not interested in your products. On the other side, you may have SharePoint, other internal applications where people log on and stay on that site forever and work constantly with it. Therefore, my point is it depends on the app, on the user behavior.
A classical politician non-answer. So Andy, let's talk about session. And let's take SharePoint as an example. Let's say we have somebody online working inside of SharePoint all day. How would you reasonably set a session marker there? Would you just make it all day long, 12 hours for timeout, in which case after their last request, it's still going to take 12 hours to timeout? Or would how would you set a reasonable level?
I would still keep it as short as possible, but still different than for a regular web e-commerce app, for instance. So you want to basically look at the average time a user sits on the page, and basically I think that should be your default setting, your baseline. Now, when people are working with the app, like maybe every 2 minutes they're hitting a page, it doesn't make sense to set the timer to something lower than that. But it really depends on the app. But you want to basically look how frequent they're hitting these pages. And if you see they are only checking in like in the morning when they launch, when they start the working day, and then do nothing for a couple of hours, then you can probably drop it down to whatever the average time is it takes them to check the initial pages.
See, I use a similar methodology, even looking at e-commerce sites. I will look at the average time between page-to-page requests. They come to the home page, they go to the next page, they go to the next page. And at some point, these users fall off the map. They request no more pages, unless they're a bot, in which case they're just there all day long.
Bots. They're bots.
Yeah, I hate bots. So I use virtually the same methodology. I look at when their last request was made, average page-to-page information could be most likely I will look at the web server logs for that since I'm looking at web state and how that percolates down through the app server and database and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so not dissimilar. But let's flip it around a little bit. How about database session timeout?
Well, let's not leave web session yet.
Okay.
Because remember, everyone in the room is not a performance tester. And okay. We have people who are asking to be performance testers. So any of you guys work with like a customer service app where someone logs in the morning and they keep the app open all day long? Do you have something like that? So your session, like if you truncated it every end number of minutes, like let's say they just stopped using the page for a few minutes, like, you don't want to redo that session. Like, so Andy's point of it depends, there's a business context where maybe they take a break at noon or something. So you have like a two-hour session window that might be programmed in there, right? Do you do anything like that? Eric, will you share the microphone?
Our application is actually pretty much infinite session. So unfortunately, it just stops working if we update the behind-the-scenes
okay.
components.
Do you occasionally simply run out of resources on the server and have to reboot the servers?
Not really. It's actually, ours is more of a client side. So this is more web context.
Yeah.
And I should specify that when I nodded to the sessions that last forever, ours is application, not web.
Okay.
Okay.
No. Which kind of segues. Now, who else has a different kind of app with weird length of usage? Anyone? Craig, what do you guys got? You mean you're an e-commerce site, right? So e-commerce would be, come grab the mic, my friend. Yours is a little different. You probably have much shorter lengths.
In some cases.
In some cases, yeah.
On some sites, yes, and on some, we haven't gotten around to fixing them yet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But you can figure if you're shopping on a site, if you're browsing, you may still browse for a couple minutes. You may look at, in terms of how much information is on the page, maybe 2-3 minutes, and then you maybe make a decision.
Yeah, we make a decision, and then sometimes we store from what's in the cookie somewhere else on the system because we have shared cart scenarios where we need to come across, whether you're on desktop or you're on your phone.
Ah.
So we have those capabilities as well.
Okay. Very cool. Oh, another. Introduce yourself, sir. First name.
My name is Greg.
Greg.
Our company deals with mobile applications. And what we introduced a while back is a concept of a traveling session. And we actually send an encrypted session object back to the client.
Yeah.
And the client sends it with every request back to the server. And that way we kind of take away the burden of managing that on the server side and basically just keep it moving back and forth between the client and the server.
Right. So it would be similar to what Craig was saying, like if you switch from a desktop experience to the mobile to going back and forth, that works for that as well then, right?
So this is not dissimilar to what Microsoft has implemented in ASP.NET, which is state management. That is, they're moving the responsibility for managing all of the variables to the client,
right,
and then handing it back with each request as opposed to managing it in memory on the server.
Exactly. So is everyone kind of getting the clue as to what this session is? It can be an actual object within the app server, right? It can hold all the values of the current fields on the page in the client. It can hold hidden information for other stuff that the app has done behind the scenes, right?
So we could use the site that shall not be named as a great example.
Oh, no. Before we get too much further, I think we had Howard on the phone here. Howard, are you still with us?
I'm here, Mark, but I'm having real trouble hearing what's going on.
Well, yeah, so we're going to just keep you in the dark. You probably can't hear much of anything because I haven't set it up right at all. But anyway, Howard, what do you think about session state?
I can't hear you.
Howard, what do you think about session state?
I haven't given it much thought lately.
All right, we're just going to turn to you every few minutes for some stray comments, and you just make it up.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Howard, you can always listen on the Spreaker page.
Can I?
Go ahead, Andy.
I have a follow-up question, actually, to sending the session state back to the end user's device. So how large, like what type of data are we talking about? The whole sessions, do you serialize the whole state and then send it back and forth with every request? Or is it more like just really like a cookie or like partial data? Or how does that work? Because it's partial data.
Partial data, yeah.
Because otherwise, you may send up a lot of data, especially when I think you said you're doing mobile. And over low latency or high latency, low bandwidth, it could be challenging.
It could be, obviously. So we take great care in ensuring that we only put there whatever is absolutely necessary. Yes.
And you said it's all encrypted, obviously, because you said...
Encrypted, the client cannot read it.
Interesting. Yeah. Cool. What kind of application is it? Or set of apps? What context?
This is mostly around video. So we powered AT&T Uverse.
Yeah.
And SXM mobile applications.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I've had issues with that app over the last 3 days. We should probably chat after.
Because they are taking it away from us, actually. It's another company now building it, not my company. Android, right?
Yes. That sounds good. Two more people have joined the podcast. That's good. Eric raises his hand.
So I have some experience of working with older applications and early versions of .NET where the computational cost of setting up a session could be significant.
computational cost in CPU on the app server and database server?
Correct.
Okay.
So especially the older application architectures where the database doesn't scale horizontally, preserving a session for a longer period of time can move the scaling bottleneck somewhere else. It does use more memory on the application server, but I mentioned the early version of .NET for that reason, because it wasn't very good about doing cleanup, and
yeah,
you were maybe better off letting things be for a while than having to recreate the same objects.
Yeah, so you trade some CPU for memory.
Plus,
yeah,
you had the whole issue that everything went into the state by default.
Yes, luckily our guy stayed away from the 500K session state going back and forth on every request, but we still had some of that going on.
Yeah.
And then the application I was working on at the time was also like a call center application, something I'm going to be in all day. So it would typically be a user requirement that I don't want to re-log in more often than I need to during the day.
Right. Right. So let me throw it back to you, James, before we move on from this. Like,
yes.
How did we come to have session, even as an object? Why is it important for performance generally?
It is generally more expensive to allocate a resource than it is to destroy a resource. So if I have to constantly reallocate memory, reallocate a network handle, reallocate a handle to disk, things of this nature, I'm going to incur an ever larger expense. So if I can turn on a handle to write something to the disk and write something to the network and allocate an amount of memory and just hold it for a period of time, then I can actually reduce the number of cycles to service a client connection. So this carried over from two-tier client server, mm-hmm, to web in the early days, that we want to hold session information in the web server in order to incur kind of a low performance impact,
yeah,
in this case. But as applications got larger, more complex, as we're moving from a real skinny web tier to more complex clients, we're actually incurring larger and larger sessions.
Right.
Now, there are many ways to address this. Microsoft has addressed it with .NET by taking essentially the session object and pushing it to the client as much as possible with what's called view state and a few other items. However, for most of the rest of the industry, non-Microsoft, we still maintain some sort of session item in memory on the web server. And that session concept carries not only from the web server, but to the app server and to the database server, and how the app server allocates or grabs a resource on the database and releases it and things of that nature. So you can run out of resources kind of at every level.
Yeah. So to Eric's point, is as an app gets more complex, and depending on what that state is doing, it can chew up CPU like crazy in order to actually get your session created. It's also the first experience, one of the hits when you first log on to an application. It has to set up your session. You get the basic,
yes,
infrastructure connection. Then, oh, by the way, we need to get all of these static information tables from the database, put them in memory, set up your session, and that has to live in memory in the app server, or even web server, app server,
Even worse if you have a default shopping cart, because then it has to go all the way to the database, pull your cart object, make that a part of session state, manage that in the application server, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Even if you don't even put anything in the cart.
Right. Don't use a persistent cart if you can help it. If you can help it.
Or a default cart.
Exactly. Eric,
I think a lot of that overhead that you're talking about are the things like processing a user security, particularly when,
sure,
the app has some native kind of security, presenting the right menu options, all the things that make you in that session have,
yeah,
to get processed.
Yeah. It's like, I have no idea what. It's great. So halfway through the session setup, there may be an authentication step where we have to make sure your identity is correct before we actually access the database and pull your records back from the database to set up the complete session. So it actually acts kind of, in a performance way, like a caching mechanism. So instead of having to do 100% like recreate the session with every interaction with an application, you sort of have a standing session. It reminds me of SAP's app servers, because they'll take all your recent queries. I mean, your session in an SAP app server is huge, and of course you replicate that in other types of business applications.
I prefer to think of it as a ball peen hammer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, think of a ball peen hammer attacking your disk drive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to just smacking it once.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Very good. Now, we'll talk about a few other implications of session as well. We were a little late in starting our thing, but it's usually we do an ad of some sort at this point. Should we do an ad?
Or a PSA?
I could do a PSA. You want to do a PSA? Here
we go.
Yeah,
let's do a PSA.
Are you guys ready? No, I'm going to try to do this right. Hang on.
You know them. You see them hit the end of an iteration and they just plain ran out of time for performance testing. You hear them convincing the VP of development to just fire all the testers. You see some other kids aren't testing at all. And you see the cool kids, well, you know, they're testing in prod. It can be tough under all that peer pressure just because you want to be cool too. But being cool isn't as important as it seems. Perf Bytes encourages you to keep your own commitment to quality steadfast and not give in to those trendy, cool hipsters who don't know how to test and who, by the way, don't pay for what happens in prod. Stand your ground against emergency promotions and too fast releases directly to production without any testing whatsoever. Know that PerfBytes supports you because friends don't let friends deploy without testing.
Thank you, James. That was a little bit wistful. I'm a little teary-eyed. You know, it's very emotional.
I really wish Howard was here because he's one of those cool kids that tests in production.
Yes.
Yeah, Howard Chorney works for SOSTA, and they do test in production. He'll tell me that I'm full of it, but...
Howard, you're one of the cool kids, right?
Absolutely, Mark, always.
Yeah, and when you're testing in production, do you often just run recklessly about, or are you very careful about that?
You know me better, Mark. You know I run with reckless abandon.
All right, we're gonna keep you on hold here, my friend, as we continue talking about session. You've been listening a bit here. You have any comments on session, app session, and session performance?
Are you talking to me?
No, I wasn't talking to you at all, Howard. But you're on probation now. All right, let's continue our conversation. There's a few things that are gotchas. One of the biggest gotchas with session, you talked about having a traveling session as well in your application stack. A lot of people have problems with introducing scale-out load balancing. And one of the big things is if you get routed to a different server within the farm, guess what? Your session's not there.
And there you incur a larger cost to recreate the session. That's why if you can have session affinity or IP affinity on your load balancer, that will help you tremendously. So you still might get one of your nodes in your cluster overloaded by, you know, a bot coming in, and all of a sudden I'm at on this IP address, and this bot pounds this one server to snot. But you know, at least at that point, you can identify the bot, and you can tailor them out with a firewall rule.
Yeah, but if you end up round robining, there's some other mechanisms within the inter-app communication where it'll actually replicate your session. Now, this is similar to a traveling session, again, that you mentioned, Greg, was the idea that you would, if you set up a session on server A, even though your primary work today is with session A, it may replicate that session. Just in case server A goes down, it replicated your session over to the second machine or the third machine so that if you have some failure, it fails over and you can keep working without getting hit, you know, negatively.
And your memory vendors for your servers will love you.
Yes, won't they?
Yes.
They will love you.
Yeah, this is why you have 64-bit operating systems, so you can go to, 4 terabytes of RAM or something, or 192 terabytes of RAM or something.
Yes.
Some god-awful number.
Exactly. Howard, what are you trying to say there, my friend?
Well, I was just curious, on the round-robining and the... replication part, are you going to pretty much assume instantaneous replication? And wouldn't that cause overhead?
Well, of course there's overhead. Of course, if you had network latency between your app servers and the failovers were happening quite frequently, let's say maybe even proactively, like a rolling restart from your ops team, Yeah, and suddenly you're pushing sessions from one server to the next like crazy. There is latency in replicating that session.
Mark, I think you should visualize a balloon animal here and squeezing the leg and watching the head.
I hear you, Howard, but for some reason James started talking about balloon animals.
I think it had to do with that whole rolling restart thing and pushing sessions from one to the rest of the animal.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, yeah, sessions. So, Howard, just sessions are like balloon animals, just so you know. Just wanted to be clear about that.
I have a dog that looks like a balloon animal.
All right, very good. Howard, hang on there. We're gonna put you in your – there you go. All right, so what else do we want to talk about? Optimizing for session. Now, one of the big things over the years was that you actually store the session in the database, and you wanted to talk about sort of a database session as well. What did you mean by that?
So that is true. When you look at what's going from the app server to the database, you also have a session timeout on the database. The whole idea of a connection pool is maybe you can constantly reuse these connections so you're not going to time out these items. But that's not always true. Depending upon your architecture, you may be passing some sort of session object through on even the connection pool, and you have 16 set up, but you still might create and destroy within that pool range.
Okay.
But you can lock up resources on the database if you don't time out your database session. And I can think of a situation very clearly with one of my clients where they had their database session set to 24 hours. And eventually, on very high demand situations, they would run out of database sessions.
So this is a configuration you would have like for an individual connection, the connection object
itself,
and everything?
It's on the database server itself.
Now, is that hogging up a connection within the connection pool? The whole idea of a connection pool is you're able to reuse
it. No, it's basically
them, right?
Holding up an amount of memory on the database server. You may not have closed the connection. Instead, okay, you're waiting for it to time out. So it's this orphaned object and this orphaned amount of memory, along with a network handle that's sitting out there on the database server. And eventually, you run out of handles on the database server for your number of queries.
Now, has anyone ever been in a tuning situation where you just have a limited number of connections in the connection pool? Yeah. I mean, the perform. Yeah, so that's a common tuning thing where you're just so busy that you're having to reap the connection and acquire a connection within the pool. But you're saying this is something that even that setting, let's say you give yourself plenty of connections, it just keeps chewing them up over 24 hours or something.
Well, if you're not clean, if you never destroy your actual session.
Yeah.
So you have a pool of 32, and you may create or destroy, or if you're fortunate, you have some sort of process that you're just passing off to is just has the connections open all the time.
All right.
Depending upon your architecture, if you're creating and destroying within the pool, if you never destroy, then you're going to run out of resources eventually.
All right, we have a question from Craig.
But shouldn't you just trust the developers to clean up those connections?
No!
A developer would never just let the connection hang around and be cleaned up by the database.
That's right.
Never.
I'm a development manager, so I had to ask the question.
Hello, my name is James. I'm a reformed developer. I just want to say developers, we love them, but they're lazy.
Hey, it's a reason we invented garbage collection is so that you didn't have to explicitly manage your own memory.
No, that was for incompetent developers.
Oh, sorry, not just lazy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, the ones that... You know, I think I heard someone say Java is for people who couldn't code in C or something of that nature.
That sounds good. That's exactly right. So this is interesting. A best practice would be if the app server or web server has a session timeout, let's say 20 minutes. I think a default in the ASP world is always about 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, and I think Apache is somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes, depending upon the version.
And if you have a database connection, why would the database connection session be longer than the app? Because if the app session goes away, why would the database connection still be there as a session?
Well, if you don't have any cleanup code that actually closes the connection.
No, I mean, would you ever have them be different values? If the front end is 20 minutes, why wouldn't you make the database timeout 20 minutes matching?
Well, your database session actually might be shorter for the amount of turn on the queries.
Okay, so if you have limited database interaction.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense. Any other thoughts? No, there's no thoughts. Well, the room is devoid of thought. On session anyway. It's
we have these 50 people and they're all quiet. It's amazing.
There's 120 people in this room.
Actually, I wanna challenge your statement.
Woohoo! Okay.
I think database connection pools and timeouts are totally independent of user sessions. Because in an application server, you have a connection pool that is shared between whoever needs a connection. And typically, you acquire a connection for a single request from a user session, and then you hand it back. And typically, what actually happens is, at least the way I see it, if you look at Java, you have Java JDBC keeping the connections actually alive, pinging them so that in case your application is idle, because nobody's accessing right by now, the next person that comes in has a fully active database connection.
It keeps the pool open.
It keeps the pool open.
That is the ideal, where you only have that number open and you don't open anymore, but you open them. You just have them open all the time.
But Andy, you're saying the session in the database is managed totally separately from the connection pool.
Because
there's a client-side connection pool object that gets managed by the driver, and then there's obviously the database itself, which allows the pool connection.
Exactly.
All right, James, that's the challenge. What do you think?
No, I actually agree that the database connection, the database session is managed independently. In fact, do we have any former database administrators here in the room?
Oh, we do. Eric.
Eric. So you've probably had the charge to clean up sessions on the database that have been orphaned in the past.
Pretty regularly, depending on the app.
Yep. So setting session lower on your database server would have assisted you in automatic cleanup in this case.
Saving some memory.
That is correct, but as you mentioned, developers are lazy. So somewhere very early on in troubleshooting, that timeout gets set way high. And I think that's been my experience with most production sites. There are a few that are tuned very nicely, and the rest of them have that blown out to make up for lazy code.
Okay, I'll accept that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's up to you what to accept it or not, James.
No.
Because you're the master.
Because what usually happens is you get settings that get set in development or QA, and they get automatically propagated into prod without any thought or investigation. And that happens quite often.
I also see another scenario where this happens. So even if your app server is set up to use like a pre-configured connection pool, developers bringing third-party frameworks without telling these third-party frameworks to actually use these existing connection pools.
Yeah.
So then these frameworks basically just open up a total independent connection that is outside of any control of a connection pool.
Yes.
And then they forget to close it, and that's when you end up with sessions on the database.
So speaking of lazy developers that just copy their code from Stack Overflow, I mean, they might end up... Right? You've seen it. Craig's seen it. So do I. It's awesome. But all of a sudden you'll notice, I guess it's that jar file, whatever it is, it rolls its own connection to my database. And, it does it separate from a proactively managed deterministic architecture to manage this stuff correctly. All right, what's another gotcha in the session world before we move on to the news of the damned?
I think we've covered most of them that are common today.
How do you...
Which is client to server.
Oh, we got hands
then,
in
then
here.
Once you destroy the server, the app server should go away naturally, unless we have lazy developers who aren't, doing self-terminating code.
Yeah.
And that should clean up the database session. Should.
Yeah.
But as we all know, Murphy is a great programmer.
Who?
Murphy.
Oh.
Murphy's Law.
Oh.
Anything that can't
go wrong,
will. He's a great programmer.
Did he pass the law? He passed the bar? All right. Yeah. Anyway, Andy, another gotcha in session.
Yeah, it may not directly be related to sessions, but similar. So between the web server and the app server. So you have requests coming in.
Between the two of them.
So like you have Apache, and then you're handling off. You have a connector that is basically connecting to, let's say, Tomcat.
Right.
Very typical scenario. And you want to make sure that the session, it's more threads, so that you have enough threads that can actually handle the incoming requests.
Yeah.
And I often see misconfiguration here. So there's too many requests coming in on Apache, but not enough basically open sessions or available worker threads on the app server.
Right.
And therefore, they're queuing up on Apache, and you don't know what's going on.
And also, if you don't have enough idle threads, your session creation time could be really long because it's got to spin up the threads in order to create the session and then allocate memory for that as well. So having enough idle threads in the pool so that you could do that. So that's really good. Craig, you had an idea. Or Greg or Craig. You got Greg and Craig in the back, yeah.
This is Greg. So I have one comment that I think in the past, I remember a situation in our company where developers had a tendency to put too much stuff into the session.
Oh, yeah.
They basically, bloated. Without thinking and understanding the impact that it's going to have once you're going to have hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of users.
Right.
Obviously, mainly on memory. And that was one of the problems.
Yeah. And a lot of you might get some advice maybe from the ops team that says, hey, we just need to make the session a little longer because these people keep having to either, in a web world, they have to log back in if for some reason, oh, your session timed out. Banks, you'll see this, right? They, for security purposes, they'll time out your session. But the infrastructure session in the app server may actually be really long, even though it's a five-minute explicit timeout of your security session. So that could be different. And then someone says, well, let's just make the session time really long, like in 24 hours, and it's going to hold that memory for even longer. So when you have that ramp up in the morning, that spike in the morning, 24 hours later, you're cleaning up all those objects at the same time you're trying to re-log in all the same people and their session's still alive. Yeah, this can get really messy, according to what he just said.
And on the whole issue of putting items in session and things that go back and forth, I think Microsoft deserves a bad rap in this case.
Oh.
With .NET, view state, for managing session state. And their default for developers is everything going in state instead of being very, very particular as to what should be in state.
Yeah. And just to have a perf rant on view state.
Oh.
It's time for a perf rant.
Do we have the theme for it?
No, go ahead. I'd
like to tell you about my first experience with view states. So this happened several years ago, and it actually involved the Mayo Clinic. They had a nice web application they were using for customer management, and they sent it to my organization for testing, and I opened it up, and I looked at what was going back and forth, and I really need some sad piano music in this one. And I saw, I think it was 15 and 16 megabytes going back and forth.
How much?
15 to 16 megabytes.
Megabytes.
Yes, megabytes. Going back and forth for everything that was in state. And it had things such as like small Microsoft Access databases being passed back and forth because they were using that data as representation inside of the smart web app on the screen. So just keep in mind, developer laziness contributes to poor state management in this case, particularly when you have tools that lump everything into state. And it's very much hidden from a performance perspective until you start looking at your network saturation. And, there are opportunities here for, I think even patents to address some of this issue.
Oh, patents don't fix anything, James. I can't rant about that. But, yes, the default view state, at least in ASP.NET, used to be that all the controls on your page, the multi-tab controls, they all had state turned on. And you can turn it off. If you don't need it, if you're like, we'll just send that value back and forth. Eric, your comment.
I also saw with that an exponential CPU cost based on serializing and unserializing all that XML.
Yes.
And somewhere between 1 and 2 megs, it hockey sticks up really bad.
Ka-boing! Exactly. It's terrible. That's the sound of a CPU spiking, by the way. Did you see that?
You're moving your bottleneck from your developers to get it out the door to your entire infrastructure cost. So, CapEx, OpEx in this case.
Yeah.
So I got a question to the group here because we are all testers. Are you actually doing sanity checks on how large your sessions are after you're walking through a test scenario?
Anyone? Do you measure it? Yeah? Definitely during a performance test. There's monitoring. At least in Java, you can pull that out of JMX. You can see memory allocated for session management, right?
Yeah, or you take memory dumps at the end and then basically look at the session object sizes. Yeah,
that's also an option. Same thing in .NET. So that would be really good. Craig, you had a comment before.
So one thing I wanted to call out is I'll give a shameless plug to Smita Mishra. She, in her seminar today, was talking about knowing the business. And this is one that got us as related to session. Knowing how attribution, when you're having a shared cart, is a very important thing because you pay for ad clicks, right? People who route traffic to you. So from a website perspective, when you're dealing with shared carts that span multiple devices, if I go to, let's say, Groupon or something like that and get routed on my desktop and then go into my phone and use a different site to do so, it can be a problem on the back end if you don't know the business, whether tester or developer. And it did catch us at one point, so we've worked through that and worked with our vendors to understand how to do that.
That's awesome. Look at that. Look at who knew? Who knew this could be a hot topic? Shared card. Well, James, you know what time it is.
It's time for News of the Dam.
It's time for News of the Dam, so I have to do like that.
Hello again, Perf Bites listeners. It's Lucifer here, giving a big shout-out to my good friends Mark and James for their continued coverage of the worldwide IT disasters and outages. There are times when I wish I could take credit for all those impressive crashes of ticket websites in the UK, Indian Airlines sales promotions, aging rock and roll hipsters, and student test results. That one always gets me, because you know it's just that static content that they could cache in the CDN, right, dude? Come on. Anyway, love the work you guys are doing. Don't forget to send a pair of those Perf Bites shoes right after this week's edition of The News of the Damned.
Can you dig it?
That guy's always screaming in the background.
So normally I go out and find a bunch of interesting stories, but since I was doing my imitation of Willie Nelson on the road again.
He was on the road again.
I researched the News of the Dam. Generously went out and got some
interesting
stories.
I don't usually get to do it, right? This is usually your thing. So I have some. So you be me now.
Okay.
For the News of the Dam. You have to, you have to be excited about the things that
Mark,
I found. Yes.
What do we have for this show's News of the Damned?
Well, James, it's very interesting that you mentioned that, because we have several very interesting stories. The one story that I left out was the tragedy with the German Wings. There was actually several different websites that were giving information about the status of the flight, and they actually crashed. So I just sort of set those all aside, because it's just too soon. You know, that's a heck of a tragedy that went on with those people. So we're gonna bypass that. Let's make sure my laptop is still running correctly. Howard is there somewhere. So we're going to bypass German Wings, and all of our sympathies and condolences go to the families and the people that have tragic. What is he doing there?
No idea. Howard, do you have
Howard, what
to
are
say?
You doing in there?
I'm looking at the first one, and it's kind of morbid.
There's also, so it's a little bit dark, as a young boy, had passed away, and it crashed the newspaper site down the story, because it's a really tearful, actually impactful story. So this was Noah Thomas. You heard about Noah Thomas, they announced. This is very interesting.
I don't know this story, Mark.
Yeah, I didn't really know it either, except for the fact that, again, you have a newspaper infrastructure that they're used to putting out newspapers that scale, because you have individual services in a paper format, but they go to the website of the newspaper to get the story. And what do you think happened?
And they have to print a new session object on the printing press.
That is exactly right. So the Noah Thomas story, this was on the Southwest Times, and it actually crashed the website twice. So they had actually brought it back up in order to give information about where to go when they had found this young man's body. It was a tragic kind of story. But enough people knew this. No one in this room knew Noah Thomas, right? So it wasn't us crashing the website. So it must have been like maybe the family members. Maybe they used LoadRunner. Maybe the family members of Noah Thomas used LoadRunner and crashed the website.
The free 50 user edition.
The free 50 user edition. They fired it up in the cloud 10,000 people are going to show up at the wake for the funeral for that. What?
It was across the pond, so although it was in Ireland, could it really count as being with the UK?
Yeah, it was in Ireland and the UK.
Yeah.
We have a special relationship with the United Kingdom.
Oh, they're coming up. I got more on that one. So
the News of the Dam.
So yeah, no details, but I did look at the actual website of the band. They did not do very well. They did not using a CDN. So it was a small paper getting the stuff put out there. So again, condolences not only to German Wings. A lot of people are dying. Websites are crashing and people are dying. It's scary. Then the next one we have, James, because we go a little bit.
Yes, Mark.
You know, there are two different kinds of people in the world. There are some people that drink coffee, and there are some people that drink tea. And at least in the last week or so, both coffee drinkers and tea drinkers crashed their websites. It didn't really matter which one you were
okay.
into.
Okay, you've got to explain this one.
All right, so the
because
first...
Because I'm a soda drinker, so I'm in that third category.
You're in the third category. You get your caffeine delivery in a very different way.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I understand that. So the first one is about these lawsuits. Are you guys familiar with like the Keurig K-Cups? They put in the instant coffee thing. Well, apparently there's a hell of a lot of lawsuits going on around the K-Cups. And, you know, who can put their coffee and rebrand, put stuff in something calling it a K-Cup. There's also a trademark infringement stuff. So there's all kinds of legal issues happening around K-Cups. And it was this hot coffee, this was from Modbee, was the Freedom Clip offer on the website of this small coffee roaster, the Freedom Clip, right? On our website, they expected 10,000 or 15,000 people to respond, but we've had many, many more times than that, more than we ever expected. After, get this, Slashdot, be damned, after CNN Money, Fox News, and Huffington Post, all three of them picked up the story about Freedom Clip and directly redirected links to their website. Crash. That's not Slashdot. That's not one popular thing. We've seen HuffPost.
Yeah, we've seen the HuffPo effect.
We've seen Slashdot itself or other things, you know, from like a Steve Harvey's, you know, show.
Yeah.
But this is like a hot news story of a little coffee roaster who's like creating legal news about the infringement on the K-Cups. Website crashed, and we had to hire a beefier web server. Now, that's what I liked. We had to hire a beefier web server.
Okay, so I'm picturing Rick.
Rick's a hearty, he's a tall, strong
nice
kind of guy.
Beefy web server.
Beefy web server, you know? And of course, you know, guys that are working on web servers in IT, we tend to put on a little weight because we spend all our time at the keyboard. We're not actually getting any exercise. But maybe it would be better if we manually replicated session and ran around between the servers. We'd never experienced anything like that before. It was crazy. So here you go.
So, Mark, I'm going to put a theory out there.
Okay.
And that theory is that they built the web server themselves. They're doing a lot of bad things as far as content management.
Very small little coffee roaster.
Not cashing any information in CDN.
Right.
They may even be allocating resources too early.
Okay.
That is giving out a default shopping cart for anyone who shows up.
Could be using one of the sort of standard off-the-shelf e-commerce, if it's e-commerce. This looks like most people were just going there surfing around a news story. So with that, with all three of those huge news outlets hitting these guys, I bet it was just couldn't even get to the webpage.
Yeah, it was just timing out
just
and no content in the cloud anywhere.
Yes, all right. But the good... Okay, go... Howard, you're going to have to repeat that.
They're a small company. I don't know if you guys are talking about it because I can't hear you, but you know, they're a smaller company. Obviously, they're not going to be expecting the volume.
Yeah, but Howard, here's my point, Howard.
Even if you install and run an Amazon, there's a default caching solution that comes with Amazon.
Yeah, but stand back for a second. How much coffee do you think we consume, you know, in America? A lot of coffee.
A ton of coffee.
Right. Exactly.
Billions of gallons a day, I bet.
Billions of gallons. These guys actually said, we expected 10,000 or 15,000 people to respond. So they were expecting 10,000 and 15,000, and they got nailed by way more than that. All right.
Like three times 15,000, which have been 45,000 users.
I think it's many, 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 Mark. Many. Many is five, right? Few is three. Some is four. Many is five.
What is several?
So many would be five times. So it's 25 times more. That's my qualitative assessment Howard.
I have my economical argument right now.
That's right. Your math is all off, Howard.
How's my math awkward?
All right, you're breaking up. Hang on. All right. So enough with coffee. To the other side of the fence, we have tea.
Okay.
All right. So this is...
So we need to be calmer now.
No, there's actually in some cases more caffeine in tea than there is coffee.
Okay then.
Right? So you have to be anxious. You know, my doctor says having black tea makes me edgy.
Why don't you just get to the story
then? Exactly. Empirical evidence about this. So the tea here, tea lovers crashed the NIFDA. NIFDA. I still didn't really look up what that was. But the tweet that came along with it was from some kind of a NIFDA People's Choice Award. So it's a People's Choice Award. They went, and of course, this little company, the Punjana Tea Lovers. So if you look, the Twitter tag is at Punjana, Punjana Tea, capital T, Lovers and Voters. They crashed the website, and of course, they sent out a tweet that says, you know, you crashed the website, try again. It crashed the website again. And I think the total tweets was three that I found. So they actually just kept tweeting and crashing and tweeting and crashing and tweeting and crashing.
I think this is more of those free load testing tools.
Exactly. So we're going to give a shout out to the NIFDA, N-I-F-D-A, the National Infusing Fusion Department of something. I have NIFDA. I have no idea what that is. Someone else will look up NIFDA. That'll be fine. So we have tea, coffee and tea, both crashing for some reason. The first time we've ever, the very weird ones I found.
So we can say that's the U.S.-British divide.
There. U.S. could be a U.S.-British or a Canadian, like they have tea, high tea in Canadian. Victoria, I went to Victoria once, we had tea.
Okay.
It was very nice, little crumpets, it was good. All right, so there's two more, one you're going to love. The next one, not sure that it was load-related, but it was Humana. Humana is a healthcare provider. They have a network of Humana Insurance, right? Right? Isn't that right?
Yep.
Okay. There's also some other names. Humana is, but Humana is a huge thing. But they were in USA Today, major story on. NIFDA. Martha just posted it to me. Thank you, sweetheart. It's the Northern Ireland Food and Drug Administration. There you go.
They give out awards for tea?
People's Choice. They don't give out awards. You do because it's People's Choice.
Oh, it was definitely a load test going on.
Not a load test going on, exactly. Humana. So the other one is Humana Networks Crash. So they had done something, and it didn't just take out their website. They were out for, I think, a day and a half, and it took out all of the Humana provider networks, all of the any hospitals that were connected to the Humana network. They had built, obviously, a SOA infrastructure distributed from their central systems to get all of your information, which would be the HIPAA compliance people that needed to make sure that was right.
So I guess if you needed a flu shot, you were screwed.
If you wanted Humana to pay for it in real time, I bet you were really screwed. But, you know, it's springtime. The flu season is over.
Allergy shots.
And if you're an anti-vaxxer, you're not going to have that anyway. So you probably weren't affected. But you maybe had to go in to get a general checkup, maybe an EKG, get a physical. You never know. Yeah, that'd be fine. So Humana crashes, but they crash in this spectacular way that takes out like the whole company. Internal IT people were mentioning they couldn't do their jobs. They sent people home. So it's like some. Where is the single point of failure that takes out the entire corporate network? This sounds like a hack to me.
Or it's some sort of core network switch.
They
went down.
They took a crossover cable from port one and plugged it into port two and just took out the whole thing.
Created a loop.
The feedback loop that after 24 hours, it just saturates with packets.
I can see a core router, one of the larger routers from Cisco or Juniper, going out.
And not failing over, not redundant.
Not failing over, not having enough redundancy there. But and that would impact going from one segment of the network to another. That would impact
the front
all
end,
inbound
everything.
Traffic. That if depending upon where they had their web server staged, that would impact all inbound traffic for their web servers. So, as common cause, it seems like networking is the high probability item there. I'm going to stick with that as a theory.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds good. So the Humana network took a hit.
Or someone unplugged it to run a vacuum cleaner.
Or they were doing upgrades required for the website that shall not be named. And it's a curse. It's a curse of some kind.
Yeah, that's true.
Bug in the machine.
Session followed. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. All right, the last one. No News of the Damned would be complete without what, James?
News from the United Kingdom.
Of what particular site? Of what particular type?
A princess and the royal family taking out a fashion site.
Well, this is almost close to being royalty.
A an aging rock and roll group taking down a ticketing agency.
This one's not aging. This is Jake Quickenden. You've heard of Jake Quickenden from the X Factor? There's an X Factor. He announced a tour, 2015 tour, the X Factor. They actually announced his Laid Bare 2005 UK tour, which is very suggestive. Right after we'll do that. That's fine. And so fans got so excited at the prospect of seeing Jake performing live in his Laid Bare. Get that, okay? Suggestive.
Laid I think this bare. Is an appropriate time for a last call announcement.
Yeah, before we go any further, you might want to have a beer.
You might want another drink.
Laid Bare. So it's bare. A little salacious advertisement. I mean, the people were getting the tickets for this site, this tour, because they weren't interested in the music, I don't think. Anyway, so Jake Quickenden, this whole thing, they got so excited. The concert promoter, the company's name is Transmission. Like, it's kind of crazy, right? So he tweeted, again, everyone tweets about their crashing website, and then more people go to see the crashing website. When are they going to learn? This is terrible. So you Jake Quickenden fans have crashed the entire system at the company who does our website. We will be back up as soon as possible. Amazing reaction. Amazingly stupid reaction. What, you're not selling tickets if your website crashes?
Well, let's think about this. You know, ticketing is kind of an odd business model. You have a finite amount of product, and you have a finite period or finite life to the product.
Yes.
They all have to be sold before the concert.
Yes.
So if the website crashes, as long as you get them all sold before the concert,
who cares?
Where else are you going to go to see this person Laid Bare?
Well, so here's the scoop. I actually had a conversation with John Stevenson last week at Test Bash in the UK. He works for Ticketmaster.co.uk. I gave a little perf rant during the 99-second talks, which basically called everyone out on Ticketmaster failing and being we can do better, guys. But I talked with John, and he said, you know, there's a method to the madness. You're exactly right, where they're if they can have a site that stays up and sells the tickets at that point load, and it's all just crazy, unexpected infrastructure issues at root cause, part of what they will do is actually do pre-sales and determine whether they add a second show date or a second night to the concert. So they actually will change how many performances will be done by the artist based on pre-sales and ticket sales. And you can sign up for that service if you're a really big name or you're a small name that may add a second show. But a lot of the I'm going to go back and look at the ones in the UK that we've hit because it may be certain artists who are like, we're doing one show and that's it.
Well,
so they just,
you know,
there's no pre-sales.
Think about the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
You know, they can only get Keith Richards to do
so many shows. Yeah. You know,
he has a finite life.
He is a finite. Yeah, that's right. I'll buy that. Yeah. So yes, no News of the Damned would be complete without crashing website ticket sales. So a shout out to our good friends, Richard Bradshaw. Richard Bradshaw. Why not? He's an automation.
And Mahesh.
And Mahesh at Trust IV. They're go talk to John Stevenson at Ticketmaster. We see this again. This should be Transmission. So maybe they'll quit Transmission. They'll bring their business over to John. That would be nice. And that's the News of the Damned. What do you guys think of the News of the Damned? You don't have to clap. Does anyone not like it? I mean, it's just kind of crazy, right? It's just innocent.
The reason why we started News of the Damned was these catastrophes are really educational items. There are common cause that crosses many of these events, and it gives us an opportunity to speak about all different items in performance engineering.
Try to learn from them.
So you don't wind up on News of the
We
Damned.
Don't want we innocent people should not be punished by bad performance practices. Martha's comment here is that she would rather not see Keith Richards bare or laid or Jake Quickenden. Ew. There's a lot of ew. Martha, yeah, thank you, sweetheart. All right, we're going to move to the... I agree. That's not the kind of show... I like music. Just the music is good with me. I can... Yeah, that's fine. It's a family show. Thank you, Craig. All right, so we're going to move to the last part where we take some audience participation, and we need to figure out what the question would be for everyone.
So questions from the audience, comments, snide remarks.
Yes.
Observations.
We got to think of a good question for people. Let's see. We could do something like, what's the worst? Let's see. Usually at SCPCon, we go like halfway through.
Hold on.
And what did you learn about performance?
What is the worst performance issue that you can discuss publicly?
Okay, but that trumps everything.
That is the site that shall not be named.
We're not even allowed to say that name anymore. It was the worst. So she said.
There's the National Health Service in the UK. There's healthcare.gov here in the United States. Now, there have been some other really bad public examples.
Hang on. Before we go here, it's usually educational. Here's the thing, because this has been kind of a random session, a performance news of the damned. For those of you in the audience, we'll do the usual thing where what did you learn in the last 50 minutes? Did you learn anything of value? Your first name and introduce yourself.
Kate.
Kate?
Beginning into a lot of this performance stuff, so that sessions is a thing.
Session is a thing.
It's a thing. I should pay attention to that.
Okay. Coming from a non-performance testing
five,
background?
Not zero. Let's call it five.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Okay.
Kate says session is a thing. Martha's on point here. She'll pick him up. She's a little delayed. All right. Who next? Who learned something? Craig? Did you learn anything? You didn't learn anything. Craig? I know. That's right. You don't learn anything new. Come on. You must have learned something. What else have you been doing here for 50 minutes in this room?
I know it's the free beer.
It's the free beer.
Yeah.
Right? You've been typing on stuff. So we have Kate. So did you learn anything in the last 50 minutes?
My name is Abba. I'm from Atlanta. Yeah. I did learn about session testing.
Okay.
And I remember when I test, I do get sometimes another session running error. And now I understand why.
Okay, talk into the mic just a little bit closer. It's sometimes you're testing, you get there's another session running error.
You get an error.
Another session running error.
Okay.
So now I understand why the sessions are different. Why I got the error.
Okay, so maybe one is hung out there and it's not going to time out for a year.
I used to reset the session and restart my testing.
Okay, all right. So that's pretty good. I like that. Eric, did you learn anything?
State is complicated. No, to talk about. To
so session
the idea
is a thing,
of,
and state is complicated. We're really succinct here tonight. I like it. Yeah.
Just to explain the idea of I know this much about this user right now. And
yeah.
To describe how that gets built and what happens to it.
Okay.
It's a really important concept for understanding the performance of any one system.
Yeah.
And very few people can explain that well,
right.
Especially as well as you might.
Well, or that guy sitting
okay,
right
really
there,
changed.
Or Andy. But you boiled it down to state is complex. That's three words. That's pretty good.
That,
I think that's nice.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
All right.
You win.
Come on. You can win a nice pair of shoes. We got to give Martha a little bit more to go after here. They're a lovely pair of shoes, Perf Bites shoes, your size, customized to your liking. There you go, Craig.
So I guess one of the things that I learned is a diesel Jetta can make it across the country in four tanks of gas. No, in all seriousness, one of the things that I guess I am listening to is the database piece and tying it to the web app. Not that we didn't know about it, but just thinking of connection pooling from an app-only perspective and not database perspective as well.
Thinking that there's, even though they may not be connected within the database, there's a database and, session and a pool on that side.
And just as a follow-up, we didn't really talk about how to measure sessions. There are queries that allow you to measure the number of open sessions on your database.
$V/session, select star from $V/session.
You can take a look inside of your app server and take a look at how many sessions you have open. You can take a look at your web server as well.
Yeah, and Andy's point was you could even take a in development. You could dump the app server process and look in the
session. But ongoing on, if you have any questions at all during your performance testing or even in production. Monitor the number of open sessions you have. If they continue to climb and don't decline on a regular basis, then you know you've got a problem.
Very good. Greg, what did you learn? Did you learn anything?
Well, I learned that actually such a thing as perf bytes exist, because I actually have to say that I didn't know prior.
Okay, the flattery will get you no points.
Yeah, we consider that bribery.
I just want to say that this is seems like an awesome program. I'll recommend it to my team to listen on a regular basis.
But on the subject.
On the subject, anything? I've dealt with these problems before, and I've been testing for a long time. So
I'm going to reverse points to Greg, because he used the phrase traveling session. And I have never heard that before in that way. I like it. So I'm going to give him a point for me. So that's for traveling session. I just like that phrase. Like, you're a traveling man across the country. We have traveling sessions across the app servers.
Don't ask me to sing.
All right, there's a few other people in here. And you see if you can coax them out. I'm going to see what Martha's got brewing here.
Anyone else?
Come on now. One more.
Come on. We have failed in our mission if there's not one thing that you're taking away, even if it's the fact that we are two demented individuals and need help. Howard learned something.
Put him on your mic there. Turn him up.
Howard?
Yes.
Please do tell.
I learned I really don't like doing this remotely like this.
No. That's called opinion, not learning.
It's not called learning?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, we can cut him off.
Okay, you're off now.
We can talk to Howard anytime. We can't talk to these people anytime. All right, Andy, did you learn anything? You already know a lot.
I learned that Keith Richards is not going to live forever.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, what was your first name again?
Abba?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I'm just making sure Martha has everything. Got him Alva, A-L-V-A.
A-B-H-A.
Okay. All right, so...
No one else wants to compete for
Craig,
the shoes.
Craig made it... Okay, so if no one else wants to compete, Martha's ready. She's got them all. Right?
They're great shoes.
Sure, come on.
They're Converse All-Stars. Very, very hip
they're
and trendy.
Leather. Converse All-Stars.
Leather Converse
They're actually All-Stars. Called like ox something. Oxblood leather? Oxbow leather or something? Really nice.
Yeah, for that red color.
Are they Corinthian leather?
Corinthian
leather. No, they're not made by Chrysler.
Exactly. Ricardo Montalban. All right, Vicky. Vicky, yes. We got one more for Martha.
Hi, I'm Vicky. So I haven't participated much because I'm not a technical person. I have a team, so... I've learned today that there is a heck of a lot more that I need to learn about performance testing, which my team doesn't do right now.
Yes.
So, sessions, I have the general concept. So,
sessions are a thing. So you're kind of competing with Kate. We can't both give. So you want to enhance your answer because Kate's already kind of got that one, Vicky.
I really don't like shared cart.
Oh.
Okay. Ooh,
now that's kind of a strong statement. Do you want to get on the mic? Say that a little louder for us.
Don't like shared cart.
Don't like shared carts, which directly relates to session.
My personal opinion.
But as a development manager, you should know persistent carts, Craig. Remember that. It's the 100x100 rule.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. All right, Vicky's going with I don't like shared state. All right. All right, are we ready to vote? Are you guys ready to vote? We're over our time a little bit here. Let's see. All right, Martha is she's gone through them all. And for a while there, you've got Abba and Eric were in the lead. And then Craig made a good showing. I'm leaning towards Abba because she got new info on session testing just now and made an immediate connection from this to her own work today. And so she's saying Abba wins. You win the shoes.
I'm not a performance tester.
Yes, but you're about to become one. You're going to have a great pair of shoes.
It inspired me.
You're going to get the shoes, so you're going to have to explain it every time you wear them.
Yes. So congratulations to Abba. Thanks for everyone for the great answers. That was marvelous. As well. So, yes, Abba, congratulations. You come up after and we'll get your shoe size. And I think they run like a half size small. Like if you're 10 and a half, you get a lot, one size larger. We'll look it up on the site here. Well, very good. All right. So that brings us to the end of another Perf Bites episode. I don't have the outro music going, but I do have some of the closing notes, here as well. Obviously, Thank you to the software test professional folks. James and Rick are in the back of the room here. Thank you guys for hosting us again here on a Perf Bites Live podcast. Thanks to everyone in the audience for coming and participating. How many of you, this is your first podcast recording ever? You've never, like, you know what podcasts are, but now you've actually seen the craziness of the, well, thank you for coming and not just listening, but participating. I'll say to the other performance gurus, we've got Eric and Andy here in the front, Craig as well. Thanks for participating and contributing your ideas on the subject of session performance.
Session.
So, yes, thank you. You wanted to say thank you to someone?
Yes. At the end of each show, I always say thank you to my mother. I always know that at least one person is listening. And at this hour, it's up past her bedtime. Thank you, Mom, for staying up.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And, of course, I will say thanks to the Dr. Sexy Irish Voice of Perf Bites, Martha, for listening live back in Philadelphia and voting on all of the answers in a very objective she's a doctor. She researches things. So, yes. I'm going to say thank you to Howard for tolerating the craziness of this weird phone thing. Howard, you want to say some thanks?
As always, I want to say thank you to my lovely wife.
Your lovely wife. And Howard, let's say thanks to AT&T for the less than adequate signal that brought you to join us even for some of the rare, wonderful comments, brother. We'll see you soon, okay?
Oh. Yeah, no worries.
Okay. And of course, today's episode?
Today's episode is powered by the heat of the volcano from our secret lair.
Oh, that's one you remembered right from the Perf Bites secret headquarters where we're going to take over the world.
Yes,
that's right. The one that I actually had written here was today's episode is powered by the Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
Oh, yes.
Remember that?
I remember the ZX Spectrum.
Yeah, that was really good. And, of course, please remember that the content of the Perf Bites episode is copyrighted and protected by everyone who listens to Perf Bites. All of you are guardians of the podcast, so if you see anyone stealing the content, you have our permission to just take them out. Done. James.
Baseball bats are very effective for this.
Now, this is where I'm just going to go rapid fire. James, for more information about Perf Bites, visit the show's website at www.perfbites.com or follow us on the Twitter and the Facebook or the Instagram and the Tumblr and all that stuff. You can always subscribe to the Perf Bites podcast on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher or Spreaker if you're listening live right now.
And, of course, the new Perf Bites application for
Android.
Android. And coming soon for iPhone.
For iPhone as well. You can also find us on testingpodcast.com. I'm going to give a shout out to our new friends, Andy Tinkham, who's going to be here at Software Test Pro. Andy Tinkham started a new podcast called Testing Bias. You see him on Twitter at Testing Bias. He and Ian Brenneman started a great new podcast. I actually helped him out with some music. So visit Testing Bias as a podcast, testingbias.com, which is a really awesome new podcast in the podcasting family. And, of course, you can also understand that Perf Bites show and staff are supporters. We have a staff. I always wrote that in there. We have a staff of people.
They're interns.
It's you. Interns. That interns. I've never met them.
I'll introduce you.
Yeah, okay, great. The Perf Bites show and staff is supporters of the Practical Performance Analyst, the Performance Engineering Book of Knowledge, the Computer Measurement Group, the Workshop on Performance and Reliability, and, of course, the Software Test Professionals community of software testers. Thank you for joining us live from San Diego SDBCon. Any of you out there that are not here, you're totally missing out on an awesome week and an awesome conference.
And you lost the opportunity to win a pair of shoes.
Yes. ABBA, congratulations again. And that's Perf Bites. Bye, everybody.